Back to life stages. Welcome back to the study on love and respect. We're going to pick up with lesson number 8 on opening up and understanding. Now, we are seemingly targeting men, but we will balance it out by going back to the ladies later on and what they can do. But for the moment, this information is probably more pertinent for the men. And I don't know whether it's by design, but probably because we need it. We need to be on top of things in our marriages. And we need to fight hard for them. And I'm feeling a little underwhelmed this morning because I don't have my better half with me. So, but on the other side of the coin, I can say whatever I like. She's not here. She will get embarrassed later. Anyone have any specific prayer requests before we jump in? Do you have, Zachary, do you have some more? If anybody needs any more copies, Zachary's got the rest of them. Well, we should pray for the rest of the year. That would be a good start, that we can finish well, because we're in the second half of the year. So why don't we pray? This is quite a lengthy lesson this morning, so we'll pray and jump right in. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your goodness to us, bringing us into your house today. Thank you for the measure of health that you've given to us. We do continue to pray for Brother Francois and his health. Lord, that you will be in that situation, have your hand upon him. And Lord, if it's in your will, we pray for complete restoration and good health. And Lord, we just pray for the rest of this year that you'll bless our efforts. Pray that you'll fill us with your Holy Spirit this morning. Lead and guide. Give us listening ears as we recommence our studies. And we also pray, Lord, that you'll be with Pastor and others. There are some who are not well today. Brother Wilson in particular, we pray for his health. And we just pray, Lord, that you'll lead and guide throughout the rest of this year. Have your will and way. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. So we got away from the crazy cycle and moved on to the energizing cycle in our last lesson. And then we looked at what it means to the ladies to be on this energizing cycle. What's going to motivate them to produce the respect that he's looking for to then generate the love that she needs. And the acronym COUPLE was put out there as probably the best way of looking at it from the woman's point of view, because research showed that women are looking for closeness, they're looking for openness, understanding, peacemakers, they're looking for loyalty, and esteem, and that makes up the acronym COUPLE. And we also learned that these things are intertwined, and when they're put into practice, the results can be outstanding. So today we want to have a look at staying on the energizing cycle. Now this is going to take a bit of effort, guys. We've already learned that the wife wants us to be close, but she also needs our openness and our understanding. And that's what we're going to look at today, openness and understanding. So there are first blanks there, close, openness and understanding. I've filled in a few of the blanks on the second page just to give you a little bit of a relief from all the blanks. But the first letter there, letter A, don't crush her spirit. Don't crush her spirit. A wife and most women are expressive, responsive. They have an expressive, responsive personality. They want to talk about things. She wants to have her problems, that next blank, problems, out in the open for discussion in order to solve them. The husband, on the other hand, usually plays things close to the chest. He's the opposite of expressive, responsive. In fact, psychologists describe that as being compartmentalized. And his wife senses that something's going on inside, but he won't talk about it. Nothing is wrong, he says. Yet her intuition tells her he's definitely upset. So the wife is confused. She says, sometimes I just don't know what to believe. Are you upset or are you not upset? A closed-off husband seems to portray an ill-tempered husband. It's like, we talked about this earlier, it's like you're not saying anything, so therefore you must be so upset that you're not saying anything. You're absolutely fuming. And in 1 Samuel 25:17, it's so ill-tempered that a man cannot speak to him. I was trying to find some Bible comparisons, and probably the only one was, and not a very good one, I guess, was Ahab when he couldn't get the vineyard, and he comes home having tried to get the vineyard his way and doesn't get it. And so he goes into his room, and he gets on his bed, and he faces the wall, and he's not talking to anybody. This is the king. You know, he's just, I'm not going to talk to anybody. And his wife has to come in and try and find out what's going on. And he's, generally speaking, they'll have a go. Women will have a go to find out what's wrong. They'll keep coming at the problem because they're trying to figure it out. She's longing, this is a good-willed woman we're talking about, she's longing for his love, which is experienced in her world by connecting openly with his heart. And we've already seen that men and women are different. They look at things through the pink and blue, and they see and they hear things differently. And I was trying to find an analogy that would display this a bit more, and it's a bit like the one I came up with was the Christmas tree lights. You know when you put the Christmas tree lights on and they tell you that if one light doesn't work, then the whole thing doesn't work? Well, that's basically what women are like, is that if one light goes out, if one light's broken, that's it. The whole lot is gone. But there's another set of Christmas lights that you can buy that if one doesn't work, it'll still work. And that's us. That's the guys. If one thing doesn't work, we'll just keep going. That one thing doesn't work, but that's all right. We'll put that one away. We'll come back to that later. Got a shed full of things that half work. Yeah, and let's move on to the next thing. And in any marriage, the wife is like the first set of lights. If there's a serious marital conflict, it affects her whole being. It affects the whole set of lights. All her lights will go out, and she shuts down totally. And that's because she's an integrated personality. Her mind, body, and soul are connected, and her entire system reacts to feelings of hurt. Let her husband make one small, unkind remark that feels unloving to her, and she's totally upset with him until things are repaired. James 2, verse 10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. That was the verse that came to mind when I was thinking about that. Sometimes a woman can feel at war with her husband because he leaves her feeling lonely. Lonely is her next point. The wife's crushed spirit is not hard to see. Her face tells it all. Her face is an expert. While women are expressive, men are more poker-faced. The wife may complain that her husband seems to be able to carry on as if there's no problem between them when she is still clearly upset and feeling crushed. He goes off to work, and when he returns home, he cannot believe that she's still fully charged up about the earlier issue. Usually he has to be reminded of exactly what happened because he's forgotten. For her, though, the whole day has been interwoven with the little spat that they had at breakfast. She's replayed it and rehearsed it a dozen times. But he says, oh, let's just move on. Let's just forget about that little thing. But she cannot imagine how he could make such a remark. Why is he not upset the way she is upset? Well, the answer is easy. Remember the two sets of Christmas lights? Her husband is the one that you can smash one of those lights and the others will still work. And that's what's meant by compartmentalizing the problems. A man has much more ability to control his reactions. His blood pressure may be going through the roof, but he can still keep it under wraps. He may be deeply pained, But he shoves that into the compartment, saying to himself, what's the point of trying to talk about this if that's the way she feels? Can I just say that what we've just covered is a powerful piece of information? Let's get the scriptures out. It's a powerful piece of information. If you can just grasp that, understand that your wife, the woman that you're dealing with, is expressive, responsive. And that gives you a huge insight into knowing how to respond when she tries to get you to open up. And I think about that in a work situation as well. You think about the women that you're dealing with in your office, that how they react. They're expressive, responsive too, just because they're in the office. They want to get to the seat of the problem. And you, as the male in the office, you can't compartmentalize that. You can't say, well, I'm not going to say anything here because I don't want to get into a conflict. That's not going to help. You need to be able to get things out on the table and work through them. Now, most wives cannot understand why their husband is not as expressive as he was during their courtship. And I've got to remember back a few years, but during the first month of courtship, both of us were open. We shared our inner dreams, our yearnings, our fears, and our failures. Michelle and I had some very long dinners where we sat down and talked and talked and talked. We just talked about everything. And it's a heart-to-heart, they call it. And that openness is something that we could literally feel. And it was like in Song of Solomon, it says, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, in Song of Solomon 5, verse 2. That imagery of the open door, it symbolizes the two people drawing close and sharing their hearts. And they're attracted to each other physically, emotionally, and spiritually. But then something happens. You get married. What happens to that openness once you are married? Well, during courtship, if you're like me, you are seeking to discover the woman of your dreams. You're trying to find the woman of your dreams. And it's an exhilarating adventure. And once you work out that the dream has come true, contentment sets in. And sometimes you don't feel the need to share and be as open as you did when you were in courtship mode. So basically you prefer to be together, shoulder to shoulder, working things out. Now, obviously there's a lot of planning still goes on, and a lot of people will talk about the next thing after they've been married. Let's talk about having babies. Let's talk about what education we're going to do, and you can still talk those things out. But generally speaking, you're content. You've got the woman of your dreams. Life goes on. We're on the path. What is there to be talked about that is the heart-to-heart? Now, what is the problem there is that the wife is still looking for that heart-to-heart, the conversations that were had during courtship that fostered the love that was generated during courtship. She wants someone to share with her, to be open, to simply talk to her, to share with her. That's the next blank. And to some wives, in this predicament of the husband not wanting to talk, their husbands can appear just like a mysterious island. And the wife is just paddling around the husband looking for a place to come ashore, but there's a fog holding her back. There's no place to land because he is appearing to refuse her access. Now, we're talking about a generalization. There are exceptions. There are lots of men who would be more open, I guess, but generally speaking, this is a pattern. So for the men, beware of becoming bitter. Beware of becoming bitter. You know, some husbands can't or won't try to deal with their talkative wives because they fear feeling inadequate and disrespected. Disrespected is your next point. You can feel as though the wife is coming across as the heavy hitter in the relationship. And the husband begins to feel that the discussions that they're having are just to fix him. So he basically avoids those discussions like the plague. Now, this kind of husband is suspicious, believing that she has an agenda to irritate and provoke him to wrath. Instead of opening up, he shuts the door and allows the bitterness and anger to simmer just beneath the surface. His wife intuitively knows or strongly suspects he is secretly and constantly mad at her. Paul wrote about this kind of man in the New Testament in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 19. Interestingly, the only negative admonition in the entire New Testament to husbands about how they should treat their wives. Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. To be embittered means that you are upset, irritated, exasperated, indignant and angry. When we talk about a person being bitter, we usually think he's churning angrily inside over some past disappointment. The embittered husband can be harsh. Next blank. Can be harsh, can be cynical, can be resentful. And instead of being open to his wife, he closes off his deepest heart, giving the impression there is very little he finds tasteful about her. The bitter husband has no hope for openness with his wife. So what's the answer? If you're in that situation, if there is a degree of bitterness that's still a problem for you in your marriage, and you've vowed to get off the crazy cycle and get onto the energizing cycle, well, the answer is the gentle prodding of the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. That ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But you're not in the flesh, you're in the Spirit. And that's where you need to be. You need to listen to that still small voice within. And as you open up to your wife, she will feel your love. And if only husbands, we could recognize the power of their love and how badly our wives want it. And there will be times, there will be situations that happen in your life where the potential is there for a man to be bitter against his wife. She will want her way, you will want your way. And if you're not in the Spirit, you're in the flesh, trouble. Now, at this point, you might be thinking, good grief, I had no idea what I was getting into when I married this sensitive creature. That's right, you didn't. But you should be thankful for your wife's sensitivities and its many facets. And I was thinking about this and I started to write down a few of the things, and it's her sensitivity that enables her to stay up all night with the kids when they're sick. It's her sensitivity is what drives her to wait on you hand and foot while you're down with the man flu, moaning and groaning as if life's about to end. It's her sensitivity sometimes that causes her to feel that you're closing off from her, that you're angry with her. And you may be tempted to say, oh, please, don't be so sensitive. But it's far better that you realize that you must take her weaknesses with her strengths. And every husband must make a decision about his wife's sensitivities and needs. God calls us to make decisions in our lives. Salvation's the biggest one. But that doesn't mean it ends there. You have to make decisions all the way through your lives. And there are consequences with each choice. You know, the husband can close himself off and refuse to be open, or he can move toward her and connect with her at new levels of openness. And one of the simplest and yet most effective steps that you can take is just to simply share your day with her. And if you don't want to talk at that moment, when you come home, you've had a hard day at the office or wherever you go, and she comes out and she just wants to talk, say something like, something happened at work today and maybe we can talk about it later, but right now I'd rather not. There's nothing wrong between us. Get that last little bit? There's nothing wrong between us. Because the last little phrase is what she's looking for. She needs that reassurance that your mood has nothing to do with her. She'll most, in my case, Michelle will likely say, get over it, you know, get a better attitude. And when you do talk, be especially wary of sounding harsh. A man is typically quite forceful in expressing his opinions, and it's been a bit of a challenge to me that I didn't realise that I sounded so harsh when I was talking, but my wife kept saying, that sounded really harsh, you know, almost mean. I think, oh, just being forceful, you know. Well, yeah. No, you can sound harsh without realising it, man. And you may not have meant to be harsh, but you can see your wife deflating right before your eyes. As you simply state the facts and firmly give your opinion, you actually are crushing her spirit. A few years ago, one of our teenage sons, not Zach, was talking to Michelle in what she considered to be a very harsh way. And she said firmly, please don't speak to me that way. According to Michelle, he looked at her as if she was from another planet. He said, what do you mean? That's how I talk to my friends. But, you know, Michelle said, guess what? I'm not one of your friends. I'm your mother, and I'm a woman, and we don't talk to women like that. So he learned a good lesson that day. Why you shouldn't be harsh, lesson 101. God has designed marriage to be symbiotic. You'll find that when you share your feelings and you tell about your days and difficulties and you say, let's talk and ask her what she's feeling, ask for her opinions, that as you open yourself up to her, you'll stay off the crazy cycle and you'll get on this energizing cycle. And, you know, things like being relaxed and having good eye contact. One of the things I found is just taking her for a walk, and when we were away down last weekend down the coast, we just went for a lovely walk, Michelle and I, and we reminisced about the times that we were in Huskisson when we had no kids and the kids were little. Just things about that and talking about how they grow up so fast. And you know, I could tell that she loved that. She was warming up to that. So, you know, you give her your full attention. None of these grunting responses while you're trying to watch the TV or read the newspaper or write an email. Discuss financial concerns, possible job changes, ideas for your future. All those things, they impact her. Let us see, don't try to fix her. Don't try to fix her. We've already touched on it in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honour unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. I love this verse because Peter doesn't say that I have to understand Michelle. Like every other male, I know that I cannot totally understand any woman, even the one I love. But the key for me is to come across as wanting to live with Michelle in an understanding way, and even more, I want to know that I want her to know that I trust her heart. Now, it can be a little bit controversial, this verse, because it says that it's as unto the weaker vessel. Now, feminists don't like that. Man is not the stronger sex. We're equal. However, we've got to remember that Peter is making a comparative statement here. He's making a comparative statement. Your wife is vulnerable to you in at least two areas. When you say things such as, I don't understand you, I wonder if it's worth it to try. It's not, don't say that. And when you dishonour her by treating her less than equal because you're being heirs together of the grace of life. Now, she is vulnerable. You look at two different vessels. You've got a vessel that's made out of copper and you've got a vessel that's made out of porcelain. These two vessels could be the same value. In fact, the porcelain one might be more value than the copper one. The bowls are different. They have different functions and different settings. Your wife is the porcelain bowl, and she's delicate. She can be cracked, even broken, if you're not careful. In the heat of frustration, a husband might say, nobody can understand women, particularly you. Bad thing to say. And at this point, he might turn around and go off to somewhere to stonewall for a while. Bad thing to do. Vowing himself not to kowtow to her controlling manner until she starts respecting him. Bad place to be. If you've been in a situation like this and uttered those unfortunate words, you might want to look down and notice the holes in your shoes because you just shot yourself in both feet again. God has not made your wife to function around that kind of attitude. God is calling husbands to realize that their wives are as delicate as porcelain bowls, on which he has placed a clearly legible sign, handle with care. Good time to remember Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, because there's a lot of sin behind that kind of attitude, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Husbands, when you wake up and finally realize your wife is your ally, not your enemy, you will see the kind of woman Peter describes, delicate and worthy of honor. In accepting her, explain, and appreciating her, the whole relationship will begin to shift. So perhaps you've been noticing the connection in the principles of this couple. Closeness and openness are very similar. One plays off the other. And understanding plays off closeness and openness. And as you draw close to your wife and are open with her, she will sense that you understand, or at least are trying to. And remember, the husband is the Christ figure in this. The woman is the church figure. And as the church places its burden upon Christ, a wife wants to place her burdens on a husband. Even if she can't articulate it in these words, your wife thinks of you as at least a burden bearer, as having big shoulders. And when she comes to you for understanding, it's a compliment. It's a compliment. And this is a big part of what love is all about. But when you shut her out and close her down or don't seem to hear what she's trying to say, it devastates her spirit. So letter D, to understand, just listen. You should already have that blank, just listen. So how can you be an understanding husband? It's simple. The most powerful weapons that you have are your ears. How easy it is, we forget James chapter 1, verse 19. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Just listen to your wife, and she is much more likely to feel understood. Because our hearing aids are blue, we've got a major hurdle. To just listen is not usually our strong suits. We're better off analysing, giving answers, fixing the situation. But the unaware husband doesn't decode the messages his wife is sending when she comes to him with her problem. When she says, I just need to talk. That's not the comforting line for the average husband. Just need to talk. It throws his information exchange system totally out of whack. You get a bit suspicious. She must be setting me up to nag me about something. I just need to talk. I can't stress the importance of setting aside time to talk with your wife. It's not an option, it's a must. Talking is when women report on things that build rapport. Now, it may sound like small talk to you. You may or may not be ready for it, particularly after getting home from a hard day at work. But take time to talk to her, if at all possible. You don't have to give every detail of the day. Try to go over a few highlights, a certain happening, something that will make her feel loved, because she's building rapport with the most important person in her life. And wives love to talk to release their emotions, because she's an integrated personality. She's like a tea kettle. She collects all the things that have happened over her day, and there's a build-up. And so she needs to release that by talking. And when you let her share her small talk and give her the chance to let off steam, she's going to feel good, since she's a woman. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. God made your wife with different needs and vulnerabilities from your own, so don't pass judgment on her. Women also need to talk to realize their feelings. Men usually know what they are feeling, and they will talk about it if they think it's necessary. But women, on the other hand, can be feeling a lot of things but not know exactly what they are. As they begin to talk about what happened through the day, they can work back to the problem that they can't seem to put their finger on. That's why a wife sometimes says, "Can we talk?" And when asked why, she really doesn't know why. She just had a bad day. I just need to talk. And as a husband, you must realize your wife needs to process her feelings to realize exactly how she is feeling. And as she talks to you, it clarifies things for her. Then she feels better. She feels understood. Now, that's pretty deep. There's a lot to take in there. But believe me, it's true. After 30 years of marriage, If our marriage is an average one, it's true. They need that time to just talk, but not to talk about rubbish stuff. Listen, because understanding takes time. Understanding takes time. You can't just brush this off in a couple of minutes. Michelle and I came to a point in our marriage where our kids were young. I think we had four under the age of eight at one point. All hands to the pump. And the demands of the day were very heavy on both of us. So after I'd come home, we told Zach to watch the others because he was the eldest. And we sat down in the lounge or we went for a walk up to the shops and we just talked. And that 15, 20 minute period, that was mum and dad's time. And the rule was, don't interrupt until we're finished. The best thing about those 15 minutes were that they were predictable. You know, you could drown out the screams, you could just move forward. And Michelle and I knew this would be, Michelle knew that this would be her time that she could talk to me and she could share her feelings. And we also tried to set up a date night once a week. It gets easier when the kids are older and one of them can drive. It was a blessing when Zachary could drive the other kids to youth group. And so we said, right, Saturday night when the kids are at youth group, that's the time we can talk. That's the time we can sit down, have dinner quietly, and we can talk things out. And so she'd save up what was on her mind and her heart. She'd literally make lists. And after dinner, she'd go down the list, and we'd just talk about it. And some, you know, some husbands might be wondering, what did you and Michelle talk about? Well, if your wife is typical, you don't have to carry the conversation much. You just have to listen. And don't be thinking about getting the car serviced or, you know, what's rubbish meeting you're going to have at work or something like that. No, every now and then repeat back what she's saying. For example, that's interesting. What I hear you saying is, you know, such and such. Be present with the conversation is something that I learned a while ago. You know, you can be in a conversation and not be present in that conversation. That you can be, people can be talking to you. It happens here at church as well. People come up to you to talk to you, but your mind's already gone to the next conversation. You're already thinking about what you're going to say as they're talking to you. So you're not listening to what they're saying. You're thinking about what I'm going to say next. How was your week? And you're thinking about mine, how my week went. I'm going to tell them about my week. I'm going to quickly get through your week. I'm going to tell them about my week. No, that's not being present in the conversation. That's running ahead of everybody. But so get yourself in a mind space where you're prepared to listen to what the other person has to say and not jump ahead of them to what you want to say. And that will increase your understanding of what they have to say. And many a time I've been in a conversation where they're telling me everything simply because I'm listening. That's a good trait for a journalist to have, isn't it, Brother Thomas? Yeah. Be able to understand what they're talking about. So, and you'll get the message, or she'll get the message, that you actually care about what she has to say. A lot of people go through life thinking what they say has no meaning, that we're just talking bubbles and no one's listening. Your wife in particular should understand that you place an importance upon her. And there are many ways to let your wife know that you are trying to understand her and what she faces every day as the emotional center of your home is appreciated. So at every opportunity, express appreciation for all she does. A card, little note somewhere. Thank her for every menial task she does around the home, from washing the clothes to doing the cooking, taking the kids to school with lunches packed, helping them with their homework. You know what we should be doing, husbands? Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Beware, however, that a woman's need to feel you understand her is insatiable. I said at the start of this lesson, there's work involved for the husband. It takes constant effort on our part. And while we can't ever do it perfectly, every effort that we make tells her, we love you. We love her. So don't try to fix her problems, especially unless she specifically asks for a solution. We're good at that. We want to fix the problem. You know, what? Bring it up. Oh, it's a problem. Oh, okay, I've got to fix this. No, no, no. She just wants you to listen to her. Don't dismiss her feelings, no matter how illogical they may seem to you. You can say something like, I appreciate you sharing that with me. And another good one is, honey, I could never do your job, because you couldn't. So pray with her and pray for her. So this week the challenge is open up to your wife and then listen to her to gain understanding. And then next week we'll look at the peacemaking, and we'll look at the loyalty, and we'll look at the esteem that comes and that helps to keep us on the energizing cycle as we go forward. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for time around your word. Thank you for instruction that we've received this morning as men and for our marriages. And Lord, we do commit our marriages before you. Lord, we want you to strengthen our marriages. We want to be committed Christians who love our wives, Lord, so that we can work together for your glory. We ask now that you'll be with Pastor as he brings this morning's message. Be with the rest of the service. Have your will and way. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would fill us, lead and guide today. And we thank you and praise you for what you'll do in Jesus' name.